This is Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is brought to you the same time each week by Kingdom Ministries Incorporated, which is dedicated to teaching and preaching a message of God's coming kingdom. I want you to get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil and be ready to write down the passages that we're going to be using in our study of the Word of God today. I want you to be able to write these down. Then go back and re-examine them to study the Word of God for yourself. You need to study the Scriptures on a regular basis. It should be a part of your daily routine. I realize sometimes it's hard to stay in a routine. Many of you, as the new year began, probably made New Year's resolutions, and often New Year's resolutions are easily broken and we don't keep them. But studying the Word of God is something that needs to be a part of your daily life as well, because the Bible is not something that could be just taken to church on Sunday and read on Sunday morning and left. It needs to be studied, because in it is the plan that God has for your life. He tells you in His Word how He wants you to live, and the relationships you have with other people, the importance of going to church, as the Scripture tells us in Hebrews, to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together and to encourage one another. And there, you know, the way the world treats each other is not the way the Bible instructs individuals to treat each other. And so the way the world lives is totally different than what God wants us to live, and to our life should be an example to those around us. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, that we are the light of the world. And He said, we are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. And neither do men light a candle and hide it under a bushel, but puts it on a candlestick that it gives light to the house. We are to be a light around us. It's like a lantern. When you light the lantern, and you kind of hold it up, and it gives light to all the other areas around you. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 is the passage where He talks about being the light of the world. And we are to let our life, which is our light, shine to other individuals. In verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." By the way we live, living a godly life, by the way we live, it should be an example to those around us, that other people might follow our example. And through the way we live, living a godly life, God would receive the glory and honor. Now today, I want to have you focus a little bit on Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at the study of man. And in this passage of Genesis chapter 2, we looked at part of creation last week from Genesis 1. I want you to see that Genesis 1 was an overall view of creation. And as we get into the second chapter of Genesis, the creation of God is finished. Genesis 1:31, it says, "God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was good. And there was evening and morning the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed, and all their hosts. By the seventh day, God completed His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made." And that word all, A-L-L, is all inclusive. It's an important word to look at, because it's not just the creation of heaven and earth. It's not just the creation of man, which is in general recorded in Genesis 1:26 and 27. But chapter 2 puts the creation of man under a microscope, and we see how it was done. Where in Genesis chapter 2, God formed man of the dust of the ground. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Man became a living being. The King James says, man became a living soul. I want you to notice the wording there. And so write that down for Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Man becomes the living being. He becomes the living soul. He does not receive a living soul. He becomes that living soul, that living being. You and I are walking around living souls, living beings created in the image of God. You are a soul. This is important to understand, to get the rest of the Bible down correctly. You and I were created in the image of God. I believe that the Bible teaches, and in other places, in Exodus chapter 33 for one, that God is a corporeal being. That's an interesting word, a corporeal being. It means he has physical form. Now, I believe God has the ability to perhaps disappear, maybe, but he has, the Bible talks about his hands, and he talks about his other body parts in Exodus. When Moses wanted to see the glory of God in Exodus chapter 33, he wanted to see God, and God said, no one can look at my face and live. That's unique too. No one can look at the face of God and live. So God put Moses in a group of rocks, as scripture calls it, the cleft of the rock. God put his hand over Moses' face and walked by and took his hand away, and Moses saw God's back parts. This is in Exodus chapter 33. God has physical form. He is a corporeal being. And as God created us in his image, he created us with physical form, just like he has. And he breathed into man the breath of life, and we became living beings. And when at the end of life, when the breath goes out, when we expire, you're now a dead soul. You are a living soul with the breath of life. When you die, you become a dead soul. That's what the scripture teaches. And we are created in the image of God. And I remember hearing back when I was a child, riding to Sunday school and church with my parents, listening to a radio broadcast. And Mom and Dad used to listen to this one station in Cleveland, Ohio, as we traveled to church. And a preacher was preaching, and he quoted Genesis 2:7, but he misquoted it, because when he quoted this particular verse or read it from the scriptures, I remember very clearly, because it's stuck in my mind, he said that God created man, and he formed him of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man received a living soul. And I looked at my Bible and I said, wait a minute, that's not what the Bible says. He didn't receive a living soul, he became one. You and I are souls for whom the Lord Jesus died. Every individual walking around in our community, walking around in our world, is a walking, living soul created in the image of God. We are created in God's image, and therefore God desires that we act according to the characteristics of God as well. In Jesus' ministry, he showed us how we should live, how we should treat our neighbor, how we should treat our spouse, relationships that we have between employer and employee. And the way we need to live is the way Jesus taught us to live throughout his earthly ministry. We were created in the image of God. We are created from the dust of the ground. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, in Genesis chapter 3, and we'll be looking more into this in another time, but I want to just focus real quickly that after the fall of man in Genesis 3, God said, "Of dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Man was made of dust, and because of his sin, Genesis 3:19, it says, "By the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." So some people periodically have asked me, do I have any pros or cons versus burial or cremation? No, I personally don't, because eventually we're going to return to dust again anyway, unless Jesus returns sooner. And so because we are made of dust, God created us of dust, formed us in his image, and breathed into us the breath of life, we became a living being. And when we die, the breath of life, that element that gives us the ability to live, leaves us and goes back to God who gave it. It's called the Spirit. The Spirit goes back to God who gave it. And the Hebrew is pneuma. And what is unique is both man and animals have this same breath of life. Animals have the breath of life as well. Although animals do not have the free will to choose to accept Jesus Christ. That's what makes man unique. We are God's highest form of creation, with the ability to have free will and to choose. And God wants us to choose him. He wants us to choose his son, Jesus Christ, that we might live for him and ultimately have eternal life when Jesus returns and gives it to us at his return. May God bless you as you continue to study the Word of God. I want you to become a student of the Scriptures, so read your Bible on a daily basis, and it will indeed bless your life.